Yeah, I think the agencies are going to know best themselves what they have to do. But at the moment, we don't know where any of these axes are going to fall. The committee is working hard, but it hasn't revealed any progress that it's made. So we're not sure what it's going to do. But if you cut 1.2 to 1.5 trillion out of the federal budget for the next decade, it's going to change the way we all live. And I suspect that the effect is going to be felt all through the agencies of government, that no one particular one is going to take it more heavily than the others. We're all going to have to work a little differently.
So it's $150 billion a year, roughly, let's say, just for the sake of argument. And if it is across the board, that phrase has never been really defined very carefully. So it sounds to me like agencies themselves and agency heads will make decisions on what programs will stop, in effect, doing the work that Congress did not do.
Well, I think some of that is going to be true, but I suspect in this round the Congress will again be somewhat specific. Remember that they have worked in the past to reduce domestic discretionary spending, and this time around it is thought that they will get into some of the easier entitlements to cut. That would be agriculture and the like, and some into military. And, of course, the military is bracing anyway, because if the committee should not reach its goal, there is a possible very severe sequester on the military. So one might guess that the Department of Defense is one of the really threatened agencies here.
Would you be optimistic that they could come to some sort of understanding on this committee, or is the temperature on Capitol Hill such that you're not feeling it? You're not feeling that they're going to be able to make it. Just give me your insight there.
I think the answer is all of the above. I believe the $1.2 trillion figure is achievable, and the committee can make that figure. However, the committee has been asked by budget analysts on both sides of the aisle, right and the left, to do more than $1.2 trillion. And I think that's where they're having their difficulty now, because that involves getting into the major entitlements, and it involves revenue, the first of which is anathema to Democrats, the second to Republicans. So I think they can make their $1.2 trillion by the skin of their teeth. I think it will be very difficult for them to make the larger cuts, which are eventually going to be necessary. And I think for agencies, it would be better to know the total carnage early, rather than have another round of these things occur next year and another the following year. It would be better if the committee could exceed its total this year, and so that agencies could plan for the future.
We're speaking with Bill Frenzel, a guest scholar of economic studies at the Brookings Institution. And does this feel to you like we are on new ground with respect to how close we're coming on all this?
I think so. Well, the problem has been with us for a long time, and the policymakers, both in Congress and the administration, have, I won't say totally ignored it, but they have always said, well, we'll put it off a little longer, that we're not going to fall off the cliff immediately. But we're getting closer and closer, and we've seen in Europe the warning signals of what happens when you don't manage your fiscal policy properly. And if we do ours sooner rather than later, it's going to be easier on all of us. And I believe the Congress is beginning to get that message.
I have a twofold question for you, and it's about historical perspective and your experience on Capitol Hill and then your experience as a presidential advisor. First of all, where these cuts fall when it comes to historical perspective, is this remarkable or is it just par for the course? And secondly, the relationships between people on Capitol Hill, not just lawmakers and not just left and right, but between lawmakers and federal rank and file and the federal agencies. How has that relationship evolved? Or devolved?
Well, let me take the first one first. Where are the cuts falling? As we've witnessed this year, the first cuts occurred in domestic discretionary expenditures. Those are the easiest ones for the Congress to cut. The next range of difficulty is defense, which seems to be under the gun right at the moment. But there's a limit to which certainly Republicans and security-minded people are willing to cut defense. The next two levels are the worst. That's entitlements, which have always been the third rail of politics for the Congress, and revenues. And both of those are the two toughest elements that we have to work with, and they'll be the last ones that will be actually dealt with. With respect to the relationship between lawmakers, that's been deteriorating for the past couple of decades. And whereas it used to be true that that the parties could cheerfully fight with one another, but reconcile from time to time for compromises. The compromise is much more difficult now because the Congress is as polarized as the public is, going heavily to the right and heavily to the left. Within those groups, there is wide divergence of opinion, and so I think, as you wisely pointed out, there are also at least differences, if not animosities, existing on both the right and left flanks, and so it's getting very confused. I believe that the Congress, certainly the Republicans in Congress, have taken a pretty aggressive stance against the administration. And the president, of course, has been, I think, quite outspoken in saying that the Congress is not doing its job and they have to get down to work. So it's not an environment in which easy compromises are going to be reached.
And, of course, behind all this, I think the reason that it's gotten to this point is the at one point, at least, the solvency of the United States was briefly questioned. And do you think they've forgotten that basic point, while we watch what's happening in Europe?
Yeah, they haven't forgotten it. We've been downgraded by one of the three major agencies. The other two are looking us over carefully. That hasn't affected our interest rates yet. But eventually, if Europe ever recovers and as other investments in Asia become more available, it is likely that our interest rates will begin to rise too, and we'll be seeing some of the same troubles that Europe is seeing. So we really have to make these changes, however unpleasant they're going to be, as soon as possible.